Imagine looking at your website analytics. You pull up the dashboard and you see that your domain authority score, your DA, has just crept up by 4 points.
Which is usually, a pretty great feeling.
Right. I mean, in the digital marketing world, you usually pop the champagne for that, but then you look at your actual human visitors, your organic traffic, and it is tanking. It is actively going backwards. Your score went up, but your actual audience shrank.
It is a terrifying moment for a site owner. And, it actually happened to a client mentioned right at the start of our source material today. She was sitting there completely baffled by these two metrics moving in opposite directions.
And that baffled client is exactly why we are here today. Whether you are prepping for a massive marketing meeting later today, or you are just a curious learner who loves staying miles ahead of digital trends, this custom-tailored deep dive is built specifically for you. Our mission today is grounded in a single, incredibly insightful article. It's titled Topical Authority: The New Standard for SEO Success. And we're going to decode why that old beloved metric of domain authority might actually be leading you into a trap.
It really might be.
And we'll look at how a completely different concept, topical authority, has become the true lever for visibility in our current landscape of May 2026. Okay, let's unpack this. How is it mathematically possible for a site's authority score to rise while its traffic falls?
Well, to understand that paradox, we really have to deconstruct what domain authority actually is. It's a 1 to 100 scale that evaluates a website's overall ranking strength. But the most critical piece of context, which people constantly forget, is that DA was invented by a company called Moz. It was not invented by Google.
You know, that feels like a massive distinction that just gets glossed over.
It changes the entire perspective. Years ago, Google used to publicly share a score called PageRank, which basically told you how authoritative they thought your site was.
I remember that.
Yeah, but when Google stopped making that public, the SEO industry kind of panicked. They needed a metric. So tools like Moz created DA as a proxy.
A stand-in, basically.
Exactly. And other platforms did the same thing. Like Ahrefs has domain rating, Semrush has authority score. But structurally, they're all variations of the exact same idea.
Which is what exactly?
They reverse engineer authority primarily by counting and weighing backlinks. They look at how many other websites link to your domain and, how trustworthy those linking sites are.
So they are basically sitting outside the stadium, listening to the crowd noise, and just guessing the score of the game.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. They are guessing. What's fascinating here is Google doesn't actually use domain authority at all.
Wow, not even a little bit.
Nope. Google has its own proprietary, highly complex internal scoring systems that have evolved way beyond simple link counting. DA is merely a third-party guess at what Google might be thinking.
Okay, I see.
And according to our source, the gap between that third-party guess and reality has widened into a chasm since 2022.
Let me try to put a mechanistic analogy on this just to see if I am grasping the gap here.
Go for it.
Having a high domain authority is like being the most popular kid in a massive high school. Everyone knows your name. A lot of people are pointing to you in the hallways, and those points are the backlinks. But just because everyone knows your name and points to you, that does not mean you are the valedictorian of AP physics. You're generally well known, but Google's quallers aren't looking for a homecoming king anymore. They are looking for the AP Physics valedictorian.
That captures the structural flaw of DA perfectly. I mean, DA measures generalized, generic trust. The signal that a tool like Moz infers from a massive backlink profile is simply, other people trust this domain.
But they trust it for what?
A link from a random news site doesn't tell Google's algorithm what your site is actually an expert about.
Wait, I have to stop you there because if I am listening to this and I am an agency owner or an in-house marketer, my boss is going to look at our metrics.
Oh, for sure.
If our DA is a 50 and our direct competitor is a 20, my boss is going to expect us to crush them in the search results. Are you saying I have to walk into a meeting and tell my boss that our DA of 50 is literally useless?
Well, no. You don't tell them it's useless, but you do have to explain that it is measuring the wrong thing for today's algorithm. It still has a legitimate, albeit demoted, role.
So what is it good for then?
The source clarifies that DA is a reasonable 5-second screening tool. Like, if you were doing manual outreach, say you want to pitch a guest post or form a digital partnership, checking a site's DA gives you a fast read on whether they have a healthy digital pulse.
Okay, that makes sense.
It is also useful for tracking your own site's PR and link building trajectory over a 12 to 24 month window.
So is a health check for your digital PR not a diagnostic for your content strategy?
Exactly. Which brings us right back to the confused client from the article. She spent her budget acquiring backlinks to boost her DA.
She bought the crowd noise.
Right. She succeeded in becoming the homecoming king. But because her actual content lacked depth, Google's algorithm just stopped sending her traffic.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the metric Google actually cares about today is depth. Enter topical authority.
Yes.
This is the antithesis of DA. You are not going to log into an SEO dashboard and find a clean, quantifiable topical authority score of 85.
No, because it is not a third-party guess. It is Google's own internal assessment of how comprehensively and credibly a site covers one specific narrow subject.
Let's stick with our analogies, but let's make it structural.
Yeah.
If a high DA site is like a massive sprawling department store, they sell absolutely everything from tires to perfume. They have incredible foot traffic, but they don't specialize in anything.
Right.
A site with strong topical authority is like a hyper-specialized boutique. They only sell one highly specific type of artisanal handcrafted leather bag.
I love that comparison.
But how does Google actually know you are the boutique? I mean, if the department store has 1 million backlinks and the boutique has 50, how does the crawler physically map that difference?
It comes down to architecture and semantic connections. When Google's crawler lands on the department store site, it finds a page about tires, linking to a page about perfume.
Total chaos.
Yeah, the vocabulary is scattered. The machine cannot identify a core area of expertise. But when the crawler hits the leather bag boutique, it reads the text and maps what we call semantic connections.
Let's define semantic connections for a second, because that sounds like technical jargon.
Fair enough. It is how words and concepts relate to each other in a knowledge graph. It is not just keyword stuffing.
Right.
If you are a true expert in leather bags, you aren't just repeating the word leather bag, you are using the vocabulary of a practitioner.
Like what?
The crawler sees words like vegetable tan, full grain, patina development, and brass hardware oxidation. The algorithm understands that these specific concepts cluster together around genuine expertise.
Oh, wow. So the crawler is literally reading the vocabulary depth to see if you sound like an actual expert or a generalist who just hired a chip copywriter.
Exactly. And it pairs that vocabulary depth with internal linking. It maps how your highly detailed article on vegetable tanned leather links directly to your article on leather bag maintenance.
So it's looking for a web.
Yes, that creates a dense web of information, a content cluster. Furthermore, the crawler is aggressively looking for EEAT markers. That stands for experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
Okay, I understand how a human reads a post and feels trust, but how does a piece of software measure experience? The machine doesn't know if I've ever actually held a leather bag in my hands.
Well, the machine looks for structural signals that correlate with human experience. Are you using original photography that you took yourself, or are you using the same stock photos as 100 other sites?
I see.
Are you citing firsthand data or case studies? Are you writing in the first person about hyper-specific problems, like how a certain type of dye bleeds onto clothing in the rain that only a real practitioner would encounter?
That's incredibly specific.
Right. When a site publishes 20 highly interconnected, deeply researched articles on one very narrow subject filled with those markers, it demonstrates a level of topical authority that no amount of generic backlink building can replicate. The architecture itself becomes the signal.
Which explains the detail in the source that I think is going to make a lot of small business owners very, very happy.
I definitely.
The author explicitly notes that a small business website with a DA in the 20s can legitimately and routinely outrank a sprawling competitor with a DA in the 50s on topic-specific queries.
Because Google's primary directive is not to serve you the most generally popular website.
Mm.
Google's job is to surface the most expert source for your specific query. If the big brand site with a DA of 50 has spread its content so thin that it lacks semantic depth, the algorithm will demote them. The smaller site wins because they built coherent topical depth. They answered every conceivable sub-question about that leather bag.
This represents a massive shift from the old playbook. I mean, we spent a decade just trying to pump up a single site-wide number by funneling as many links to a homepage as humanly possible.
We really did.
And the source material emphasizes heavily this is the reality of the landscape right now in 2026. Why has this distinction between DA and topical authority suddenly become an absolute game changer right now?
Well, we are seeing the combination of several algorithmic shifts. The author points out that Google's March 2026 core update made the penalty for lacking topical authority extremely explicit.
But this wasn't an overnight thing, right?
No, it wasn't a sudden rug pull at all. It reinforced a structural pattern that started years earlier with the helpful content updates rolling out between 2022 and 2024. The algorithm learned over time that semantic connection between pages is a far better predictor of user satisfaction than a raw link count.
So what does this all mean? How does this apply to your broader digital strategy, especially when we factor in the absolute explosion of AI? Because we cannot talk about search in 2026 without talking about how AI is changing the way everyone finds information.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, there is a parallel and arguably more aggressive mechanism happening right now with AI search. Think about the underlying technology of tools like ChatGPT, Perplexity, or Google's own AI overviews.
Okay.
When those AI engines need to extract information to generate an answer, they completely ignore domain authority.
Wait, really? They don't look at the backlink profile at all?
Not in the way traditional SEO trained us to think about it. And AI operates on large language models. These models need to construct a factual, coherent answer by predicting the right sequence of words.
Right, the next most likely word.
Exactly. And to do that accurately without hallucinating, the AI needs to parse structured, interconnected data. It does not care if a random news site linked to your homepage.
It doesn't care about the homecoming king.
Precisely. It cares that your page on leather bag maintenance has a highly structured, step-by-step guide featuring the exact chemical names of the leather conditioners. Therefore, it heavily favors sources that demonstrate immense topical depth because those sites serve up the exact factual ecosystems the AI needs to feed its own model.
That is a huge realization for anyone wondering why some relatively unknown, smaller sites keep popping up in those AI-generated answers, while massive legacy brands are left out in the cold.
Yep.
The AI isn't looking for popularity, it's looking for the densest cluster of facts.
And we're seeing that sites with strong topical authority appear in AI search citations. Those little source footnotes you see in Perplexity or AI overviews far more often than higher DA sites with shallower coverage.
Which means we have a very rare alignment in the tech world. The exact same strategy building genuine topical depth through focused content clusters drives both traditional SEO ranking and AI search citation.
It's a two-for-one deal.
You don't need two different strategies. You don't need a massive corporate budget to buy links. Small businesses have a genuine structural advantage. You can build this authority simply by out-focusing the giants in your specific niche.
It is the ultimate equalizer. Building interconnected knowledge graph on a narrow, well-defined subject is something a one-person business can execute beautifully.
Yeah.
Building the kind of backlink profile that moves a DA score by 20 points requires an enterprise PR budget. Topical authority is not only the more accessible game for the majority of the internet, but it is currently the higher leverage one.
The theory is incredibly clear. We are optimizing for the boutique, not the department store. But if I am listening to this, I'm immediately thinking about the execution. How do I practically apply and measure this?
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Because as we establish, I can't just log in and check my topical authority score. How do we measure the quality of the food instead of just counting the foot traffic outside the restaurant?
This raises an important question. You have to monitor proxy metrics. The source outlines three specific ways to track your growing authority. First, look at your rankings spread across long-tail terms.
Let's define long-tail terms for anyone who might not live in the SEO weeds.
Sure. A long-tail term is a highly specific, usually longer search query. It's not someone just searching leather bags. It's someone searching how to remove water stains from a full-grain leather messenger bag without darkening the patina.
Wow, okay. That is a long-tail query.
Yeah. If your site is starting to rank on the first page for dozens or hundreds of those hyper-specific queries, that is a massive proxy signal that Google sees your entire domain as a topical authority on leather.
That makes perfect sense. So what is the second proxy?
Measure how often your content surfaces for people also asked queries.
Oh, the little drop-down boxes.
Right. When you search for something on Google, you often see a drop-down accordion of related questions. If your pages are consistently being pulled into those drop-downs, it shows the algorithm views your site as a comprehensive resource capable of answering the natural follow-up questions a user might have.
And the third.
Third, monitor your AI search citations. Are ChatGPT and Perplexity pulling your paragraphs into their answers?
Ah, cracking the AI footprints. The source also provides a fantastic implementation roadmap for anyone ready to start building this architecture today. They recommend starting with something called the content bottleneck quiz. What exactly is that diagnosing?
It is a diagnostic framework designed to show you where your current topical signal is weak or broken. It asks you to audit your site and look for specific failures.
Failures like what?
For instance, you have orphan pages.
Orphan pages?
Yeah, those are articles that exist on your site but don't link to any other relevant articles, meaning the crawler hits a dead end and can't map a semantic connection.
Oh, so they're just stranded out there.
Exactly. It also asks you to identify thin content pages that might target a keyword but only scratch the surface without answering the deeper sub-questions. The quiz helps you find the literal bottlenecks in your knowledge ecosystem so you can map out what is missing.
And once you find those gaps, you have to actually build the content cluster. But the article uses some very specific phrasing here. It says you have to brief it well and protect the content. In practice, if I am assigning an article to a writer or drafting it myself, how do I actually brief for topical authority?
You cannot just hand a writer a primary keyword and ask for 1,000 words. A brief designed for topical authority outlines the exact entities, vocabulary, and sub-questions they must cover to satisfy the semantic connection the algorithm is looking for.
So you're being super prescriptive.
Very. You were telling them, to write this piece on leather bags, you must explicitly discuss the vegetable tanning process, the specific types of stitching, and the oxidation of the hardware. You give them the architectural blueprint of the topic.
Got it. And what does it mean to protect the content?
Protecting it means infusing it with those EEAT markers we discussed earlier. The things an AI or a generic competitor cannot scrape or fake.
Like the original photos.
Right. You mandate that the article includes your proprietary data, a specific methodology you developed, or a direct quote from your lead designer about a problem they solved in the workshop. You make the content strictly unique to your lived experience.
Because if a competitor can just copy your outline and rewrite it with an LLM, your content isn't protected.
Exactly. Yeah. It requires a complete shift in mindset. You have to stop thinking about publishing isolated blog posts and start thinking about building interconnected ecosystems of knowledge.
Yeah, it really is a different paradigm. To bring this all together for you today, we have officially moved away from the illusion of chasing a single site-wide domain authority number. If you are still letting that metric dictate your strategy, you are optimizing for the wrong thing entirely.
Absolutely.
We have unpacked how focusing on narrow, interconnected, hyper-detailed content clusters is the true structural lever for visibility in 2026.
The metrics that built the internet of 2016 will not help you survive the internet of 2026. It is entirely about depth now, not just generalized popularity.
And most importantly, this reality puts the power directly in your hands. You don't need to outspend the corporate giants on PR campaigns and backlink acquisition. You just need to outfocus them in your specific niche. Write better, deeper, more structurally connected content than anyone else in your specific corner of the web.
But, you know, as we look at this transition, it leaves us with a rather profound structural question to consider.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If AI engines and search algorithms are becoming entirely reliant on hyper-specialized topical authority to serve factual answers, what happens to the concept of the general interest website?
Wow. Yeah.
If the algorithm punishes the department store and rewards the boutique, are we heading toward a future where the internet is exclusively composed of millions of microscopic hyper-niche hubs, rendering broad generalist publishers entirely obsolete?
A web of a million tiny boutiques and no massive department stores left standing? That is a fascinating thought to leave you with today. And it really brings us full circle to that client at the very beginning of our deep dive, staring at her screen, wondering why her rising popularity wasn't bringing her any actual visitors. The rules of the game have fundamentally changed, and now you know exactly how the underlying mechanisms work. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep diving deep, keep questioning the metrics that govern your digital life, and we will catch you on the next one.